Huh. And we're recording. Oh, just gone live. Let's wait for a few people to get in here as it sends out notifications. Beautiful, beautiful day today. Oh, Lexi returns right on time. Hi, Lexi. We're just waiting for a few people to join us while you're in here. If you have any questions, you've got all the attention. Feel free to ask. Hope you're having a good day. I'm having a good day. My day's winding down. Winding down. Nothing better than ending the day with a fun podcast. With fun people. So, that's where we're at. Today's podcast, we've talked about... Oh, Lexi says they're good. It's good, Lexi. Glad to hear it. We talked about a couple days ago of the pros and cons of working from home. Yesterday, we spoke briefly about the best places to work from home and the best companies that apply or that have jobs for working remote. Today, we're going to be diving in, talking about the best jobs that allow for working remote. And we're, if there's time, which I think there will be, we're going to touch briefly on the best freelancer, be your own boss type jobs that are out there and good places to get them. So, All right. Let's dive right in. We'll get going as people filter in slowly. Best remote jobs and careers for remote workers. The 2019 edition. This is from Wi-Fi Tribe. Published May 21st. Fairly recent information. Welcome, Bart. We're going to be diving into the podcast here. All about remote working and the best jobs to do it. Welcome. All right. Number one. Oh, you know what? Let's not start at the top of the list. Let's go to the bottom. How many are there? There are 10 on this list. It's good. Number 10, best job to have in order to work from anywhere. Number 10 is social media manager. Well, not a surprise. Yesterday when we talked about certain jobs and who's available, who's hiring and what those jobs entail, social media popped up. A lot of times the younger generation is going to be able to have jobs that are more remote, because that's what they want. Younger people like to travel. A lot of times, once you're old, you want to just stay in one spot. Let's see here. It's a new job. Within the last couple of years, this job's been booming. Companies have this position. They've got to have it, whether they like it or not. A lot of times, they'll hire a freelancer to do so. If not, if they do hire in-house, social media manager is a job that can be done from outside the company. All right. Number nine, virtual assistant. This goes back to customer service. We talked about that a lot yesterday. That was one of the jobs that we're really, really heavily focused on getting out of the office. And the first podcast we shot out was The Goods and Bads of Working from Home. Take a look at that if you're going to be a virtual assistant or a customer service representative, just because there's some things you need to really keep in mind before you do it. Virtual assistant, basically the bottom line is it could be for you. This might be your job. It depends on your skill set. It depends on the market. There's tons of people that need virtual assistants, whether it be CEOs or just people that need help scheduling, keeping everything in line. Sometimes people that travel often. These jobs, if you're doing this as a freelancer, not full-time, they can be long-term depending on the client. They might be short-term. It can really just depend on what you find. Number eight, data entry. Okay. Data entry seems real familiar. Anyone who's doing typical computer work that doesn't need to be on the phone, you'll see data entry with a few other things on this list where it's just you and your computer. Data entry is great. If that's what you like. Some people can't stand it. Just putting things in button by button, word by word, number by number. It gets tedious, it gets boring, but a lot of times you can crank out some music, listen to it, and have fun with it. Lexi says, yeah, that's me. Lexi, are you referring to data entry or virtual assistant? Let us know. Let's see here. For data entry, it can be a fairly stable position. Usually, if you get a job in data entry, that company needs a lot of data entered. You don't just go hire a data entry person for a day. Usually, it's a long-term type of gig or job. It depends on the software you're using, if it's going to be a fit for you. But if it's not too technical, then anybody should be able to do it. Anybody should be able to do it. Number seven. Lexi suggests that she also would get bored with data entry. I'm right there with you. I like it. I love Excel. I love making functions work. I've experimented with VBA, Virtual Basic, in Excel, and it's fun. It really is. But just putting the information in order to make all the cool stuff happen really starts to wear on me. Not a big fan anymore. There was a time, but not anymore. Number seven, accountant, which is interesting. I suppose if you're a freelancer and they hire you, if all their information is able to be sent via email, or you can log into their server and get all their information, you can do it from anywhere, sure. But a lot of times accountants deal with sensitive information, just like lawyers, HR, security analysts that deal with the back end of the word escapes me. Anyway, if you're dealing with sensitive information, I'm surprised accountants on this list, but there's certifications, there's degrees that go along with being an accountant. So I could see why it's a more limited job. So people can kind of push to say, hey, you don't get to push me around. You need me. I can do what I want. So I could see why that's a thing. I'm just surprised though. Sometimes accountants like to really meet with people, or at least, I guess, you know what? Maybe that's more the company likes to meet with the accountant. A lot of times accountants can be bookish and want to be left alone. Not all the time though. Number six, teacher. This is a very, very common job for working remote. I have a friend I was just talking to today. In fact, hopefully if we can get them on the podcast, they work remote. They do voice, they do advertising, they teach, they've taught in the past, English as a second language. They do it all. They work remote and they love it. And hopefully we're going to be starting a podcast this weekend called USA versus UK, the great debate. She's British. I'm from the US. So we're going to be diving into a lot of fun topics. It's not going to be heated. It's going to be more light, but it's going to be fun. So tune in. It won't be our normal time this weekend, which is 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be, I do believe, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to noon Eastern Standard Time. Now, if you're in the UK, then it will be 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And that's Saturday and Sunday. Lexi says they want to teach a foreign language to Korean and Chinese kids. There's a high demand for that. But because there's high demand, sometimes they can push the prices down. I've heard in the past Korea was really good. But then I heard a lot of negatives. Let me give you an example. I went to China and Korea a year or two ago, whenever the last Winter Olympics was. And when I went there, I met quite a few English teachers in China and English teachers in Korea. The Korean ones all seemed like, yeah, okay, it's all right. The winters in Korea were real hard for some of these people. Now, it doesn't bother me. I'm out and about by the Chicagoland area. It gets a little bit colder up here. But if somebody's coming from like California, Florida, or Georgia in the U.S., or even a more temperate climate in the U.K., sometimes their winters of negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit. We see negative 40, negative 41 degrees Fahrenheit here, which is also negative like 40, negative 41 degrees Celsius. So both conversions work. That's right where they cross, I think. just very rarely, like maybe once in the winter. But that's how cold it can get in Korea as well. So if they're not prepared for it, if they don't know that, that's why you see a lot of hardship and some frustration with Korea. The winters can be very tough. They can be very tough. But with China, everybody was saying it was a blast. It seemed like a lot of Chinese teachers were having a lot of fun. It seemed like their responsibilities were a lot less. They worked less hours, got paid a little bit more. If they're getting paid USD, sometimes that's going to go a lot farther in China than it will in Korea. Same goes for the pound or the euro. But that's food for thought. It's whatever you want, because I can't speak. No, it's food for thought for Lexi out there. If she wants to be a teacher, go for it. It's fun. I know a friend that just went off to Korea this year. They moved, and this will be their first collegiate year teaching English. I'll get their experiences firsthand. Hopefully they like it, but they're from a colder environment. It'll be interesting for me to see what they actually end up saying, since the weather won't be a bottom line killer for them. But for teaching online, a lot of times you're doing one-on-one teaching. Yeah, you can Skype into a classroom. That is a possibility, but a lot of people will have one-on-one lessons or tutoring. So you have to make your own lesson plans sometimes. There's extra work involved. But once you do it for a while, just like anything, you become better at it. So teaching remotely is where it's at. There's some really good programs out there. And don't just focus in on Korea and China like we spoke about earlier. I only said that for Lexi in the chat. There's also a lot of other countries that you can teach abroad. But that's more teaching abroad than teaching remote and working from anywhere. I know Japan has the JET program. Everything usually gets paid, but you work quite a lot. There's like Aeon, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I do believe I am. It's a business school. They do more part-time, but there's a little bit of sales in there as well, because there can be a push to get people to continue classes, because without people taking classes, you have no job. So it's part of it. I know Russia has programs. I think one of them that pays the most, it might be Qatar, Dubai, somewhere in there. They pay quite well, but that you're going into a different culture there, and you'll want to keep that in mind. But there's places all over the world. Even in Europe, it's a lot easier if you're from an English-speaking country to get a job in other places in Europe to teach English. It's a little bit harder for Americans to go to Europe. They'll get declined faster than they would than somebody from like the UK, Ireland, etc. So, customer support is number 5. Okay, that makes sense. Customer support, data entry, things that you can do from over the internet, a VoIP, voice over IP phone, pretty easy to get. You can do it from anywhere. If you have a smartphone, even if you don't have a data plan or a phone line, there's certain programs out there that you can get your voice over IP phone number, and there will be an app you just put right on your phone, and it calls your phone when you're attached to Wi-Fi, just like it would anything else. If you have a data plan, you won't need Wi-Fi. So customer support can go from anywhere, but please, 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 please. I don't know how many times I've called a place and I'm talking to a customer support representative and there's dogs going off in the back. It's obvious they're working from home. It's okay. I get it. It didn't bother me. We still had a great transaction. Things that needed to take place or questions that needed answered got answered. But it does take that level of professionalism does move down a little bit. But that's the way the world is. So take it with a grain of salt. If you can get yourself a separated area doing customer support, especially if you're on the phone quite a lot, you should definitely do that. Do the best you can. Now, I do voice work, so you can always use some sort of foam padding to surround your area to kind of deaden the sound. They're called bass traps. You can put in the corners of your room in order to catch that lower bass. If you're a guy and you have a deeper voice, that's what you want to put in your corners of the room, because the bass is harder to get rid of. If you're a woman then go ahead and it's just a little bit of density foam. Put it around. You could use curtains around you as well, like a circular shower curtain. Put it around you, drape it around your desk. You're good to go. Number four, writer and editor. Now, we talked about this yesterday on the podcast of jobs that people are hiring. Writer and editor, that's fairly standard. Just because if you're writing and editing, you don't have to be on the phone, so you can be in a noisy environment. If you're writing and editing, all you need is a laptop, or even if you don't have internet or electricity even, you can print things out or write by hand. Writer and editor really gets versatile on where you can go, where you can live, and what you can do. You could sleep in a tent and do your job as long as you have a Starbucks close by you can go to for Wi-Fi and plug in your laptop. It's writing and editing is really the end-all be-all of working from anywhere. It's a skill that people have been doing without internet for a very, very long time, and it's obvious why they're able to do it anywhere. Number three, designer. Designer, that's actually, okay. They instantly mentioned on this, again, this is Wi-Fi Tribe, where I'm getting this information. They instantly mention graphic design, WordPress theme design, user experience, user interface design, all these categories. With an internet connection and a computer, you're good to go. When I said designer, I instantly thought like clothes, which I guess you could design from anywhere, but you'll need much more to get the clothes produced. But yeah, website, internet design, if it's on the internet, you should be able to work from anywhere on the internet. Number two, online marketing. This kind of filters into the salespeople. Overseas, remote, abroad, traveling salespeople has always been a thing. Getting your product to the customer in any way, shape, and form. Traveling sales is not a new concept. Online marketing, since you're marketing, you're getting your product to the customer. It's a sidestep from sales. There's a lot more to it, a lot of different things to it, but it lets you know that it's, you know, it's maybe a different wheelhouse, but it's on the wheel is on the same cart. If you're into that sort of stuff and online marketing, you can get prolific and you can become very well versed in this if you just learn and pick up information. It's all out there on the internet. Whether people will trust you or not, you got to show results. But that's something you could almost jump into without even a degree. Number one, it's not a surprise, it's developer. Website developers, software developers, testing, operational infrastructure, systems administrator, website design, app development, anything like that. You sometimes, even in companies that you work in the office, they'll put you in a enclosed area. That way you have quiet time. That way you're away from the crowd. The point is you need time to think and with minimal distractions. And whether you're doing that in Kiev, Ukraine, or Cancun, Mexico, that was number four and five, respectively, on best places to work remote. Whether you're doing it in either of those cities, you can be left alone and get your job done. Send your information over. Good thing about coding as well, sometimes you just send the code. You can send it as a packet, and it doesn't take up too much. It's not like you're providing a project. It's not like you're sending videos over the internet. So getting information to and from. Actually, online marketing, designer. Designer would be transmitting a lot of information back and forth, but it's small amounts. Writer and editor, customer support. Customer support and teacher would be the ones on this list that you really need to have a steady internet connection. Data entry and virtual assistant, not so much. Social media manager, maybe as well, especially if you're uploading things. So just a few of those, maybe 3 out of 10, you really need a stable internet connection to get it done. Good to know. Now, I've said this before in the podcast, I like to compare one survey with another. I don't like to take just face value one place's opinion. So we've got thebalancecareers.com. They also did a top 10 jobs to work remote. Wonderful little article. Check it out. And that was published in April 26, 2019. So it's still very, very recent. We're going to run through this. And, we're going to start from the top down. I don't think these are in any particular order. Or 10 might be the best on this. Number one, email marketer. So this goes back to marketing, but this focuses in on email marketer. And a lot of people, if you're a MailChimp expert, if you're really good at getting the company's brand right, you can just specifically stick to marketing and emails. Email lists have gone back since email was around. Now, email, some people say, oh, email's dead. It's not. But you just have to make sure that you're engaging your audience and you're getting open rates, maybe click-through rates, that they're actually taking time to click your links or interact with your content, that it's not just lost in the void. But email, click a button nowadays, and you can send to thousands and thousands and thousands of people all at once. It's quite spectacular. Number two, promotional video maker. That's interesting. Okay, so we didn't see video maker on the last list, but working remote is, you'd have to work remote, because if a client says, hey, can you come into our office and shoot our promotional video of our team, etc., and us having a great time, then you've got to travel. So I wonder if this treads the line of working remote, but you don't get to pick where you work. It might not, because if a client says, hey, we want an office shot of somebody walking through an office saying, hey, this is our team, this is how things go. If you want to get stuff done, you should really pick our product. But it doesn't have to be their team. They're all actors. If that's the case, then you might grab a bunch of people from your local area, fly out to LA, New York, Chicago, and film there, give you a little bit more freedom. But I know traveling with all that equipment, the people that travel with camera equipment, you make it look easy. I mean, your muscles must be strong. It's some heavy stuff sometimes. Number three is freelance writer. Okay, so that seems consistent with the other spot on the other list on best remote jobs or wifitribe.com. Freelance writing, they don't put editing in here, but writing, editing, same concept. Oh, they do mention copywriting and content marketing and ghostwriting as different types of writing to do. Let's see here. Number four, web or graphic designer. Now, a web and graphic designer was on the other one. There's UX, UI as well. If you're really good, I've heard some people talk about UX and UI, and that the top of the top, the best of the best, they're worth the money. But then there's this gray area where just because someone charges a little bit more doesn't mean they're a little bit better. That's always tough. Yeah, as a business owner or someone just looking for help on your own website, you really want to go in with questions. You don't want to just say, can you do this? And they say yes. Talk about them. Talk about what they've done. Basically interview them. Don't forget to do that. That goes for any freelancer. Make sure that you really speak with them about who they are. I watched a video a little while back. We're going to do a side here. I watched a video a little while back about a business owner who's started a few different businesses, dealt with a lot of freelance people, contract employees, and they'll go through a bunch of questions. And one of them is, what was your biggest mistake? Where did you really mess up? And if somebody says like that they didn't mess up, if they can't answer that question, if they just say, well, I've had trouble with this, but I do well. They're basically, everybody makes mistakes. I can think of a few I've made. They're looking for that story. And if they don't have the capacity to even go there, that certain business owner won't work with them, because they see it as, if they're not willing to see themselves and their shortcomings, then it will never be their fault. So if something goes wrong in the project, they're going to blame others. That's how they use it as a red flag. Whether that's true or not, that's just something they do. Food for thought. I'm sure there's varying levels of interview questions like this, but just keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. Number five. Oh, you know what? Going backward, that video when you're interviewing different hiring talents, someone they said they would also ask, "Can I contact previous clients?" And if a remote worker, contractor, or someone won't give you a client, like, I get it. There's contractual obligations. I can't give out their information, or no, I'm still working on a project where I'm on a non-disclosure. I can't do anything with this. That's fine. But not every client is like that. That's not how it works. If you don't have a good enough relationship with at least one or two or three that you can say, yeah, call them, they'll vouch for me, or let me get you in touch with them if they're available, then they see it as a red flag. Right. They burn bridges. They don't stay in touch. But that was just their take on things. Lexi says they wanted to become a graphic designer, but they realized just how hard it is getting into the industry. There's a lot of competition, and it was discouraging. So Lexi, don't get discouraged. How do I say this? I'm sure there's a lot of graphic designers that the top of the top, the best of the best would look at and say, why are you doing this? You are not a graphic designer. You know, there's always going to be criticism. You're always going to have people that dislike certain things about your work. I hear it all the time. Where can you do this? Since I do voice, it'll be, can you tweak it a little bit like this? Or that was good, but can you make it a little softer? Or things like the list goes on and on. And once you meet what the client is saying, they're usually happy in my experience. But if you don't get discouraged on graphic design, because there's courses, the information's out there to make you better. It's on the internet. The issue I would say is doing your own business, unless it's a hobby. If it's a hobby, then who cares? Have fun, right? Do your best, obviously. Try hard and make something great. We're humans, right? We want to create things. It's part of our nature. But don't get too discouraged. You're going to fail. Expect to fail a few times. Learning experience. Bite the bullet, as it were. But go out and learn. And remember, though, if you're thinking, oh, it's so oversaturated. There's so many people in graphic design. How could I ever do that? Well, other people are doing it. What makes them so special? Oh, they're talented. They're skilled. They just knew the right people. Well, yeah, but they started somewhere, right? The sooner you start, the better. So I would keep at it. Don't stop. In my experience, I never thought I'd be doing voiceovers. I never thought I'd be doing voice work. I certainly didn't think I'd do any on-camera stuff. A few of my clients had me do, but it happened. And there was a lot of going against the grain, in a sense of figuring out what works, what doesn't. A lot of training, a lot of practice, lessons, constant lessons, continued education. It's big. So don't give up. Give it a shot. Start small. Work your way. Good. Okay. Lexi says they do it as a hobby right now. I hope so. Don't give up, especially if it brings you joy. Okay. So real talk. Here we go. If your passion brings you joy, you will endure the hard times. You will get through the criticism, right? Because you like doing it. If you pick something to do and you absolutely hate it, oh my goodness. If you get bad client after bad client, bad review after bad review, or just you're spinning your wheels for a month, you'll drop it. People give up. It's easier to do nothing, right? It's easier to say, you know, I'm just going to go to the same job I've always had, go to the same place, eat the same lunch, or do the same routine. It's easy. It's comfortable. But if you like what you're doing, that is that little bump that a lot of people don't talk about. Well, they do now. It's more commonly shared now. That gets you through the tough times, right? So really get into it. Really love what you do. And even if it stays just a hobby, it's not going to be upsetting because you like it. All right. Number five on the list. Wow. That was a long aside. Sorry about that. Number five, translator. Okay. So this goes back to less teaching, more a little bit with writing and reading, being a translator. I think this was on yesterday's podcast about a job that was available, or it was in-demand job is online or working remote translators. It makes sense because if you can translate a language and you have to show up to a boardroom meeting or a sales meeting or a pitch between companies, you're taking hours and hours and hours out of your day, you know, hour to get there. And if it's out of the same city that you live in, then you're flying across the country, going to a different country, and what have you. So it really kills your day, or it can take lots and lots of hours away. But if you're online, all you have to do is Skype in, call in, Zoom conference, whatever you want to use. And you're able to knock out a meeting. As soon as you hang up, you can move on to your next meeting. It allows you to really get yourself out there and accomplish more while doing less. That's always good. Number six, customer service management. Okay, we've gone over this enough. I think this is a topic that's been really, really, really at length talked about with this podcast. So I don't think I have to even say any more. Number seven, crowdsourcing manager. Huh. Crowdsourcing manager. I can't believe we're in an age that this is a job now where they're going to hire someone to get things going, whether it be Kickstarter, Indiegogo, all these projects, whether it be for charities, to get projects up and moving, movies, music, anything can have a Kickstarter at this point. World's Best Mashed Potatoes has a Kickstarter, I think. Anyway, I could see why that would be in demand if somebody says, hey, I have an idea, especially an older generation that's not tech savvy, that says, okay, I get it. There are ways now that I don't understand to raise money for an idea that I want to accomplish. Let me spend a little bit of money to get someone to set all that up for me. Makes sense. Because there's opportunity now there where there wasn't previously. So let's see here. Oh, yeah, they also do social media, marketing, sales. They help raise money. So crowdsourcing manager kind of fits, wears a few different hats. Marketing, sales, social media, things we've already talked about. Number eight, Android or iPhone developer. Okay, so we're back to programming again, or maybe it's user experience testing. Same concept, just reskinned. Number nine, ebook publisher. Wait a minute. This list now feels lazy. Hang on. What was freelance writer, ebook publisher? Okay, hold on. Let's read this and see what they're specifically saying. Because writing and publishing, there are different nuances, but maybe they're just talking about the people who publish, market. They know all the channels and avenues to get your stuff out there. Rather than just writing. Okay. Number 10, big one on this list. This is one that is, if you're driving, if you're watching this later and you're surfing through the internet and just have this on the background, this is where you pay attention. Number 10 on the list, the culmination of everything, is best job to work remote is your current job. That's what they put here. And it sounds funny, but it actually makes sense. Where a lot of jobs, you wouldn't have thought they'd be remote. A lot of jobs that have been invented over the past 10 years because of the internet, they most likely can be remote as well. It's very rare that you'll see a job that can't be done remote if it's done well. Even managers, CEOs, CFOs calling in, doing meetings, working from home, it's possible now, especially if your manager works remote and the whole team works remote, then everybody has that camaraderie of, okay, when it's meeting time, we really got to get down to business because none of us get social interaction, which, going back to my first podcast, social interaction working from home is huge. Make sure you have hobbies, interests, you do something, because you don't want to lose all your social ties just because you never leave the house. That wraps up the Balanced Careers top 10 work remote jobs. Richard Boyce, welcome to the chat. Thank you for joining us. Glad you're here. Now, we've gone over what companies hire. We've gone over what jobs are being hired for right now, where to work as well if you're going to be a remote worker. We've talked about what jobs to take up that would be an easy way to segue into working remote. We've talked about all these things. I've got an article here from R.Y. Robb. think Ryan Robb is the main person here. And they put out an article for 6 steps on how to get a remote job this weekend. So now we're going to take it to the next step and say, these are all your options. These are all the things you can do. But let's kind of put this into practice. Let's try and get you a remote job. Now, number one on this list is you got to ask yourself if getting a remote job is actually right for you. I've talked about this in my first podcast. The name, I think, is Why Work From Home. And you should go listen to that if you're having questions, doubts, or if you don't know, or if you've never thought about this concept before. So extroverts that love in-person interaction, they're going to have trouble, because you're going to lose a lot of that when you work from home. Someone who loves talking to people, I do this myself. If you have phone conversations or a customer service job, you'll be talking to people. But if not, if you're doing more programming, user experience, UI, you might not be talking to people as much. Or accountant, as the other list said. It still surprises me, but we live in such an age that almost any job, like it said, number 10, your current job, you should be able to work from anywhere. Big stuff like that. There's pros of doing a remote job. We're just going to go over a few of them. Not my huge list I did the first podcast, but stuff that I think it's Ryan Robb here. He goes back. Ryan Robinson goes back over. He says, number one, no commute. You save gas. You save money. Number two, your own schedule. That's not always true. It depends on your boss. If your boss is pretty flexible, then perfect. Right. But some companies, some jobs, especially if you're a contract employee, then they can't really tell you what to do unless you agree upon it. You can set your own schedule, but be wary about that, because once you're setting your own schedule, as you'll see in the list of cons, it can lead to overworking. Number three, work from anywhere. Oh, that's what we're talking about today. So that should be fairly prevalent. Number four, family time. That's a pro of getting a remote job. You're at home with them more, whether it be kids, dogs, cats, any animal. It could be a zebra if you have one. Wife, husband, spouse, what have you. Costs. Apparently, lunch costs go down. And I've talked about this as well. And Ryan Robinson goes over that again. And office stress and distractions are gone. No bad bosses yelling at you, right? If somebody else is having a bad day, you don't have to deal with it. If somebody comes to work sick, let them be sick wherever they're at. They're not at your house or working remote with you. But the cons, loneliness. Like I said, if you're an extrovert and you need people, it can be tough. It can be tough. You have to get out and do stuff when you're free from work. Number two, overworking. Like I said earlier, it's something that happens. If you can work at any time, you end up working a little bit more. Burnout can happen. Underworking can also happen. If you don't have the motivation, if you're not getting the sunlight, if you're not going out, if you're not keeping social, you'll get burnt out. You'll stop doing what you do at work, and your results will suffer. Your bosses will see it, and there will be times that you may lose your job or your contract. No water cooler moments is another con. That goes back to the social interaction. You don't get to keep up with the Joneses, which can be good, but there's that interaction that human beings crave. So, limited team social activities. Okay, so now we're just reiterating, Ryan Robb. We're reiterating the same thing over and over again. It's just a different side of the same coin. Number two, if you want to really become a working from home professional, figure out what really motivates you. This goes back to what I was talking about with Lily earlier. If you really are into something, if you really love it, then do it. Because that's going to get you through the lack of motivation. That's going to get you through the lack of social ties. That's going to get you through the slippery slope of depression. So if you like it, it's that happiness that it brings that gets you through the tough times. Because there are good times about working from home. That's for sure. Number three, how to find your dream job. So this seems a little odd, but this goes, I guess, ties in with number two here. If you don't know what you like, what motivates you, then you're not going to have your dream job, right? There can be some serious mental negative or mental cons to working at home. And if you don't balance that with huge benefits or certain drives in the right direction, you might falter, fail, or give up. If you can dream it, you can achieve it. People have said that before, but get out there, get looking for your job. And just because you don't think you have the right experience now doesn't mean you can't get it. It's on the internet. A lot of classes, there's remote or video classes, there's articles, everything's on the internet, right? So yes, schooling helps condense everything, but unless you need a certificate to show that, yes, I can work in this realm, then it doesn't matter. Do the research, put in the effort and make it happen. Other than like an architect that needs a degree in backing. Well, I don't want to drive over a civil engineer's bridge and watch it collapse. I don't want to be in a building and watch it fall, right? So those I get. But everything else, you can learn on your own. And if you're darn good at it, people will notice. He puts out a list here of different places that you can look for jobs online. First one's Flex Jobs. I guess it's got a $14.99 price tag, about $15 a month. You should be able to search and filter and figure out what jobs are being posted from working from home. Angel List, not to be confused with Angie's List. Angel List, I guess it's a startup. It's all about finding jobs that are right for you. It looks like it's free, and they go on a no resume or no cover letter needed basis. Interesting. They send you notifications. If you're interested, you click, yes, I'm interested. And then you, apply. Pretty cool. Never heard of it. I'd be interested to get to it. Try it out. Hubstaff Talent's number three on his list. These are in no particular order, but if you're sitting here thinking, okay, how do I get my remote job? How do I diversify myself? Take little notes. Write down Flex Jobs, Angel List, Hubstaff Talent, to be specific. They focus on hourly freelance contracts. So that's pretty cool. You can set your price and find your customers or your clients with it. They've got tons of open roles: development, design, marketing, sales, customer service, social media marketing, and more. That sounds like everything we've already covered. So the big ones, they're going to be on this. For those of you maybe in graphic design, might be able to check out Hubstaff Talent. There's no price tag on this. I'm not sure if signing up is free or not, but look into it for yourself. Pangean. Apparently, they're all over the world, 121 countries, remote job board, 12,897 jobs currently posted with 312 companies. That's a lot. So I'm not sure the specifics of what's posted where, but it looks like they don't really hold back and it's all about remote working. Number five is remote.com. Nothing says remote like remote. They have a price tag. It's free, but they have a premium option of $19 per month. You get additional exposure, probably pushes you to the top of companies' radar, things like this. Let's see. They'll usually post 4 to 5 jobs at one company when they get posted. But remote.com, obviously, if a job's there, they're looking for a remote worker. Remote.co is yet another one. Same concept. Apparently, it's a subsidiary of Flex Jobs. I'm not sure why this is added, if this is a subsidy of Flex Jobs. Just, I guess, to let you know that there's another subsection of Flex Jobs, just so you really get yourself out there and keep working. WeWork Remote. Oh, wait, sorry. WeWork Remotely. WeWork is a different company. They deal with space to work remote. WeWork Remotely is something different. They are a job board, all for remote jobs. So same concept, but check them out. If somebody says to you, oh, I'd love to work remote, but man, there's no opportunity, or it's so hard. Here's a ton of different options here. Jobspresso. I like that name. That's fun. Jobspresso. You know, have a cup of coffee, get work done. That's fun. They have not a whole lot of job seeking resources here, but you can follow them on Twitter, and that way you're updated with new postings. I think they're falling behind. So maybe put that in the back. Oh, no, my apologies. It says right here, they post often with high volumes of jobs. Okay. More you know. The worst sites for finding remote work. Oh, my goodness. Number one surprises me. LinkedIn. That's surprising. Rob even says, maybe a surprise, as his first line in his article here. I'm fairly surprised. I would have thought people would have been more accepting to that, especially if you're reaching out to people over the internet to begin with. But LinkedIn is very business-oriented. I could see why a lot of people will come, people that aren't posting remote jobs, they're going to go to a more solid reference like LinkedIn. And then you're going to get a lot more jobs like that. And then it's almost like it's a cycle reinforcing itself. A lot of people post office jobs on LinkedIn. Oh, I'll post my office job on LinkedIn. And then it continues. Indeed is a bad resource for remote work, apparently. Not sure why. He just says there's more location-specific jobs in his experience. Okay, fair enough. Monster as well. So big, Indeed and Monster are big search engines for candidates. And ZipRecruiter probably is on this list as well then. But he completely left it out. I wonder where it would fall. So now that you have a chance to say, okay, I want to work from home. I want to work remote. I know all the high hiring categories, a lot of them, top talent categories here. If you can do some of those, customer service, anybody can do. So I don't want to hear excuses. If you want to work from home or work remote, you can do it. And now you have quite a few job possibilities just by going to those websites. Okay. Number four, know what remote employers are looking for. This is actually a really good point. So remote companies want trustworthy people, and they want you to love the work you do. They want you, because you have to overcompensate a little bit because you're working remote. You have to really shine, you know? Be yourself. If they're open to a remote worker, they're going to be open in general. Be yourself. Don't hold back, because I don't know about other countries, but I think it's human nature, especially in the USA. Once you lie to someone and you get caught, no, they don't trust you ever. Just be open. It's a good in the rest of your life as well. Don't be afraid to just be you, right? As long as you're not being super rude and you're being kind as well. So do that. Make a resume that reflects you. Make sure you know what they want. They value diversity. Diversity is huge. Diversity, if they wanted the standard cut of the same cut of the same block, whatever, however that phrase goes, they would just go hire someone in their local neighborhood or area to be their customer representative. They want someone who loves the brand, loves the product, loves being a customer representative, something along those lines. That's what they want. Be that person. Same thing with the software. Same thing with copywriter. Same thing with writer. Love what you do. Same thing with graphic design. Love what you do. Number five, crafting a resume for a remote job application. So he goes into a few different things, and my experience is less about the resume, right? Mine is more the communication aspect, delivering for the client, because I usually don't have long-term goals doing voiceovers. I'll have short-term goals like meeting client deadlines. Okay, that project's done. We'll see you when you come back. And which could be a long time, because someone could get all their marketing material out, you know, in the early months of the year, and you won't talk to them again for the next year because they just use up the whole budget. But for a resume, working from home, talk about tools. Remote companies use software. They use things to help include you in their team. Figure out what they use. Explain what you're familiar with and what you're comfortable with. Some great examples are Slack, Salesforce, Basecamp, Trello, Harvest, GoToMeeting, Google Hangouts, Skype, Zoom, Zapier, and many more. Communication's key. When you're working remote, you have to be in communication because nobody sees you working, right? Oh, I worked with independents back in the insurance industry, and it drove not necessarily me, but it drove a lot of people up the wall when somebody said, yeah, I'll do this by this time. And you're like 5 minutes till, and you haven't spoken to them for like 7 days, right? And or less, even three or two, whatever the case may be. But, oh, I'll have it to you by this time, and you're minutes away from the deadline. If they haven't communicated, oh, you're sweating. You're scared that your deadline will be missed. A lot of people come through, but without communication, you don't know what's expected of you. You won't know what they expect. Communication is so critical. Please, please look into it. And as well, email communication it's good, but things can be lost in translation. So innovation or portfolio. So show what you've done, show how you do it. Make a portfolio. Cause if you're a freelancer, if you're an independent, if you're someone who wants to work from home, you have to show, how do I explain this? A CEO doesn't come in and say, I've built businesses before. No one cares. You show your return, show the growth, show the things you implemented, show your strategies, show these things, show your plans for what's going to happen with the company. That's what a CEO should be coming in and talking about if they're looking for a new job or we're going to work on a board. You know, show your expertise. Don't just say, oh, I've worked from home for years. Great. Right. Show the things that you've done. I handled X amount of clients on a daily basis. I was able to consistently deal with this much workload. I don't know. I'm proficient or proficient in these softwares. Goes back to the software. Talk about tools. Side projects. This is tough. Okay. So you might want to mention what you do on the side, but you might not. You want to make sure that they know you have availability. If somebody thinks, okay, you're too spread thin, they're not going to hire you, right? So make sure that they know you have availability. But sharing your side projects can also give you opportunities at the company. Say you're getting hired for customer service. You're going to be customer service representative, and you're going to work from home. But you also do graphic design on the side. They might say, okay, that's cool. We're not hiring you for that. But why don't you send me some stuff? Next thing you know, they say, hey, this is really good. We're going to pay you. We've got a graphic design job coming up. Why don't you just do it? It can work. It doesn't always work. That's a tough one. Be careful with that. Location. This probably seems fairly obvious, but your location's important. Because if your office is in New York and you work in LA, then you getting to the office for a meeting or once a week, or, you know, just once to say hi, let's talk about our project, make sure we're on the same page, and then leave. That's a huge, huge distance to cover, right? Same concept if you're in London, you have to go to Moscow. Huge distance. Just take that into consideration. They may look for other candidates that are closer just in case, but you can also use that to your advantage. Results. Put results on your resume. Show how your results driven. Show how you gave results. I doubled traffic by doing this. Our email click-through rate or our email opening rate was X. I changed titles to these and now it's, you know, grown 20%. I grew our client basis, or I implemented said software. I sped up the process. I closed accounts. The list goes on and on. Autonomy. Talk about how you're a self-starter, because if you're not a self-starter, you're not a remote worker. Like, I don't know how you do it unless you hire a personal trainer to come wake you up every day. No way. Talk about how you get things done. You don't need supervision. That goes back into communication, right? And you're good to go. Number six is bring it all home. So it's kind of funny, but make sure that if you're going to do remote work, really figure out if that's right for you. There's goods, there's bads. You might not know till you try, but seriously weigh the pros and cons. Job hunt. Know where you should not job hunt. Get familiar with how to present yourself, the community, right? Trust yourself and make sure other people trust you. Be autonomous, work alone, be efficient with just what you do. Love what you do. Tailor your resume for specific applications, and also take your job search into your own hands. So it's all on you as a remote worker. If you're at home thinking, oh, I want to do this job, and you apply for a couple things per day, just keep that in mind. Like, where's the motivation, right? If you're the type of person that is just itching to get out there and do what you love, who goes to your office every day and shake, this is what happened to me. I would drive my 45-minute commute. I'd be in traffic. I'd get there at 6 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. I watch the sunrise during the winter while I'm driving to work. Sometimes I'd be at work as the sun rose. And I would shake my head, like, why am I here? What am I doing? Right? It was fun. It was some great times. But I'm not the person that wants to spend 45 minutes in the car. I like music, but I'm not like an audiophile when it comes to music. I like doing other fun stuff with audio. That's why I got into voice. It also lets me express myself, creative, making something. So you got to know if it's right for you, because going to and from work, eating out of a plastic bag, it wasn't my thing. Now, I did like the office camaraderie. I do miss that, having like friends, team members, and things like that. But there are some days I don't miss it at all. So the goods balance out the bads. So we're winding down here. We've got about 3 more minutes on the podcast. If anybody has any questions, now would be the time. We're here talking about working from home, working remote, landing those jobs, freelancing, types of freelancing, things like that. We're talking about that 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time all day, every week. We're switching it up on the weekends. We're going to be going to 11 a.m. to noon Eastern Standard Time to talk about U.S. versus U.K. I'm going to be doing a podcast with a great girl from across the pond. We're going to be talking about fun things like culture, food, laws. What's it like growing up? What's it like walking down the street? Which is better? Which is worse? Which is just plain silly. That's going to be coming this weekend, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to noon Pacific Standard Time. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for that. If you want to know more about me, more about this podcast, let us know. You can get in touch with me on LinkedIn, Alec Denkoff on LinkedIn. If you have voiceover needs, I'm open to it. Shoot me a message. If you want to see topics covered on this podcast, let me know. I'd rather talk about something that's interesting to people joining me. I'd rather talk about something that you all love than something that I do and I'm familiar with, right? Especially if there's a happy balance, because I like working from home. I like what I do. I'm not knowledgeable enough on the subject. Yes, I know I'm reading a lot of lists recently, but I want to get the information out there. And it's been compiled by a lot of other people that it makes it so I don't have to go and, you know, think of it off the top of my head. I just want to be prepared. So yeah, I could just sit here and talk from the heart, and I will as time goes on, but I want to get the basics out of the way first. That way, if somebody says, I wonder if Alec missed something, well, it's possible, but this way it's here line by line, step by step. This is what you do. These are the jobs. This is where you go. These are the companies. I want to get that all out of the way first. That way, if somebody says, hey, I have a question about this, check the podcast. Hey, did you forget to do this? No, check the podcast. What do you think the best jobs are? Well, I've already done that. Check the podcast. Rather than jump all over the place. So, but I would be happy to jump all over the place for anyone listening. If you have a comment, question, concern, let me know. All right, we're winding down. I want everyone to know that I thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time. And have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful life. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate hanging out with you. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then.